Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Money can't buy love or happiness, but it can buy elections.
That's the conventional wisdom anyway. It helps explain why the Massachusetts governor's race attracted nearly $17 million in outside cash, and for the four ballot questions, $28 million. But is it really true that politics are for sale? The Boston Globe dug into the numbers and reached some surprising conclusions.
Here's one of them. The ballot question to repeal the gas tax was outspent 31-1 by the side that wanted to keep the tax, but the repeal side still won. Globe reporter David Scharfenberg wrote that story, and he joins us now from the paper. Hi, David.
Hi there.
David, could you give us some more examples of the mismatches you found in terms of money spent and outcome as you tallied up the bills for last week's elections?
Sure. As you mentioned at the top there, there was a measure on the ballot that would repeal automatic gas tax increases. The folks who wanted to repeal were outspent 31-1. They still managed to win. On the other side of the ledger, we saw industry, beverage companies, grocers spending $8.8 million to oppose the expansion of the bottle redemption bill that we have here in the state to include bottled water, sports drinks, other non-carbonated beverages. They outspent the folks in support of this expansion, $8.8 million to $1.5 million. And they won. And money really did seem to make a
difference
there.
Right. That's the outcome
there.
You would expect.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the polls this summer showed the public in favor of this ballot measure about 2/3 to 1/3. And they managed to flip that on its head by Election Day. So in that case, we did see money making a difference. In the governor's race, it was kind of in between. The pro-Charlie Baker super PAC spent about $9.9 million. The pro-Coakley super PAC spent about $6.3 million. The Republican won, but it's not quite clear that the spending advantage there made a difference. So kind of a wide range here.
And I should note that you ran a beautiful graphic, a really informative graphic that basically talks about the money spent versus the vote garnered as
right.
In terms of just how often does the money translate into votes, which is a really interesting visual way to take a look at it. Did you come away feeling like there was a rule of thumb? I mean, is it that, yes, usually money does win, or is it ever predictable when that's not the case, and when are there certain factors why it may not be the case?
I think it really depends on circumstance. I mean, some of the analysts we spoke to said, for instance, in the matter of the gas tax, it was kind of a pocketbook issue. It kind of hits people in a way they can understand. You know, if I vote yes here, gas taxes won't go up automatically, and I'll pay a little bit less at the pump. And in that case, you know, even a big spending advantage for those who wanted to keep this automatic hike in place wasn't going to do the trick. You know, on the other hand, when it came to a casino measure, for instance, the folks who wanted to keep the casino law on the books outspent those who wanted to repeal it by a huge margin. But did it make a difference? It's hard to know. People like casinos, so they may have voted for that anyhow. Then again, I spoke to an anti-casino person who said, if I had that huge advantage in spending, maybe I would have been able to move the numbers. So I think it really depends on the situation.
David, how reliable are the tallies? Because there can be delays in filing, and some groups don't file at all.
They're pretty reliable at this point when it comes to individual races. We know how much was spent for or against this or that ballot measure or this or that candidate. We don't really have the aggregate numbers yet. The state's Office of Campaign and Political Finance hasn't quite tallied them up yet, and that's quite a task. There are lots and lots of groups that spent small and in some cases large sums on, say, the state legislative races. So it's hard to tell what the big number is yet, you know, how expensive this election was versus, say, 4 years ago. But when you're looking at individual races, it's pretty clear.
As you looked at the numbers, David, how did you see Citizens United factoring into this, the ruling that has so many people concerned about unlimited corporate and union spending behind the surge in political spending? Was that the case here?
Well, I think there's really two kind of fallouts to that ruling that you need to keep in mind. The first is it had a general effect of kind of encouraging outside spending. There was quite a bit of outside spending happening before the Citizens United ruling. It was on the rise. And once this ruling came down, it was kind of a moment of clarity for these folks, and they really went all in. It had a surge there. And then there was the legal impact, where there were certain groups that couldn't spend and now could. I think here in Massachusetts, we saw that more kind of general encouragement happening. We did see a rise in outside spending. But the kind of legal changes didn't matter as much as you might think. The two big players in the governor's race here, the Republican Governors Association, the Democratic Governors Association, they were actually allowed to take these big unlimited corporate and union donations even before the Citizens United ruling. So it didn't really have as much of an impact on the race there as you might imagine.
David, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Maura Healey, the new Attorney General, who is with us here in the studio right now. And as a preview to that conversation, David, tell us about that race, because there was something of a surprise in that one when you look at spending versus votes.
Right. So Maura Healey faced off against Warren Tolman, a pretty well-known former state senator. In that race, he kind of came in with a lot of endorsements in terms of elected officials and such and outspent her by about $700,000 in the primary. But she did a good job fundraising, and she had kind of an energetic presence, a fresh face. And that was, again, one of those cases where that overwhelmed the money advantage.
And David, by the way, where does all this money go? Is it going to TV stations that get ads, political consulting firms?
Yeah, that about says it. I mean, a lot of local TV stations, consultants here in Boston and down in Washington, D.C., it's quite a bonanza for the political class.
And were you able to measure whether that spending has a measurable impact on the state economy? Do we benefit from it economically? Even if we remove the political factors, is it an economic benefit?
I think if you talk to the general managers of the local television stations, they'll certainly tell you yes. Its kind of impact on the state gross domestic product, I couldn't tell you. But there is a fair amount of this money that's flowing down to ad makers and consultants in Washington as well. So it's certainly not all local.
And David, just one final question, which in some ways is a repeat of what I asked at the beginning. As you looked at the whole expanse of how these races turned out, is it sort of like we can never quite predict? Sometimes the money does make it win, sometimes it doesn't. Is it just not any hard and fast rule?
Yeah, I think that's about right. And that's certainly been the case in the past. I mean, ask would-be President Ross Perot what happened to his millions. I think the concern here in the Citizens United era was that with this explosion in political spending, that would somehow overwhelm the process. And at least in our little corner of the woods here, I don't think we can say that yet.
David Scharfenberg writes about politics for the Boston Globe. David, thanks very much.
Thank you.